welcome to another great episode of Galactic Overdose, everyone. I'm your host, Justin. today will be a little bit shorter episode. I'm just going to do the review of Logan, since it's opening weekend, and everyone deserves, you know, a good review on it. And also, I will also go over UFC 209. I also want to apologize if you hear fucking the wind behind me. I'm not in Chi-Town. It's not the Windy City. It's Las Vegas, and it's fucking ridiculous. It has not stopped all day. I guess some crazy sandstorm came from the north of Nevada, and it made its way today. So I should have planned ahead, but hey, shit happens. The first thing I'm getting to is a Logan review. I'm also watching EBI, which is Eddie Bravo's Invitational. It's pure jiu-jitsu wrestling, pure jiu-jitsu on the ground. And it's never really watched just pure jiu-jitsu before. I'm usually a UFC guy, just like watch mixed martial arts in general. But this is pretty interesting stuff, and it helps me learn more of the, you know, more of the groundwork and what to look for and stuff like that. Anyways, let's get into UFC 209. It'll be a quick recap. If you follow the Instagram Galactic Overdose, Galactic _ Overdose, you'll see I put up the winners on the you know, the little story. Story thing that's on Instagram, so that is that's usually there. I might do a Instagram live, maybe get a little more followers. I'll probably do Instagram lives like that and do that. But yeah, let's get into it. Alrighty, the first fight. Wait a minute. Okay. The first fight on the list was, first I want to say this, the sad news is the fight Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson was canceled due to Khabib, the day of the weigh-ins, was rushed to a hospital to get IV fluids because he was having weight cut issues. I hope he's okay. I haven't really heard enough besides this, but I'm pretty sure, I think they found out replacements to fight Tony Ferguson, but I guess Tony Ferguson was training so hard for, you know, to fight Khabib, and Khabib is ranked number one, Ferguson's two. So I don't blame Ferguson not picking up a fight of people that's under him. Makes sense, because if he lost, he has everything to lose, and he'll lose his spot in the ranking. So it's understandable he didn't choose a fight, which is very smart. So instead of to replace that fight, they just moved another fight up, which it was a women's strawweight fight, I believe it was. Don't quote me on that. But the first fight was Alistair Overeem versus Mark Hunt. Alistair Overeem is 41-15, and Mark Hunt is 12-10-1. Overeem is ranked third, and Hunt is ranked number seven. It was a really good fight. Mark Hunt kicked Overeem in like the thigh area or the knee area, somewhere around there, and his leg was just bleeding. It was just leaking like a faucet. I don't know what happened. I know they thought he fractured his tibula, but he didn't. He just had this mean, nasty gash on his leg. Blood was everywhere. It was ridiculous. And they were banging. Honestly, by this point, I was pretty tipsy because I watched from, you know, the early fight past prelims, which I wish I wrote those fights down, but I didn't. But yeah, back to the fight. So pretty much in the end, Overeem knocks out Mark Hunt. I'm pretty sure it was like two uppercuts in a row, and Mark Hunt just went right to sleep, like face planted. And now it's in round three. So Overeem got that W. Overeem has a good shot to be a contender since he's ranked three already. He has a good shot if he's in the same division, yeah, heavyweight. So I believe he fights. He's probably just waiting for the winner of Stipe and Rafael Dos Anjos, I believe. Or Jiu Jitsu, I don't know. Whatever one of those guys. So he's probably waiting for the winner of that. He could get a potential, you know, title fight, which is really cool. I like to see that. But, another good fight. If you guys didn't watch it, and when it comes out, you can probably find it. The prelims, it was the guy Darren... Fuck, what's his last name? Darren Elkins, he was getting his ass whooped the whole game, the whole fight, and last minute, caught him with a knee triangle, some crazy shit, and ended up winning. Look up that fight. It's Darren Elkins versus something, Ketik, whatever, some weird last name. Dude has blue patch hair, it's weird. So the second fight that was actually, they brung up was Cynthia Talento versus Amanda Cooper. It was a super short fight. It was actually Cynthia's first debut, like even on the UFC, the app and stuff. She didn't have a picture yet. And she ended up submitting Amanda Cooper, who's been fighting before, I believe. She had a couple fights in it already in. But yeah, this girl's debut, and to submit her in the first round, I'm really impressed. I would like to see her more of her. That'd be really cool. The third fight was Rashard Evans, who is 24-5-1, versus Daniel Kelly, who's like 12-1. Daniel Kelly just like looks like an old man. He came out and was just like, I don't know. It was just very weird. He just looked like he didn't look like a fighter. He didn't look like he really was. I don't know. It was just very odd in a sense. Like, he just looked like a really old man. I think he was like 42, but he was younger than Rashad. I think he was like 35, and Rashad's like 37, something like that. But they fought, and it was like, you know, obviously three rounds. Rashad, he jumped down a weight class. He looked really skinny. He didn't look the same Rashad, but this other guy looked pretty big. It was like bigger, as taller, but he was just skinnier in a sense. But he was still a pretty big guy for that weight class. And Daniel Kelly wins by split decision. Rashad did not look like himself. He just looked, he just looked like rusty. I believe he did take a year break off, and he jumped down a weight class. So ring rust is real, so in a sense. But he didn't look like the same Rashad Evans, you know, that was back in the day. It was knocking out fucking people and stuff. Actually put a fucking stake in the great Chuck Liddell's career, knowing that Chuck Liddell should retire because he got knocked out by Rashad Evans. So that fight was, it was alright. This fight card wasn't the best. I think the Holly Holmes fight card was much better. But a good fight was between Lando Venata, who's 9-1. This is actually the fourth fight, versus David Taymor, who was 5-1, which is crazy how this got bumped with the co-main. I think Overeem versus Hunt should have been co-main. I don't know why this fight, like, the guy has 10 wins. Lando Groovy Venata, whatever. Groovy, whatever. He only had 10 fights total, and the other guy has 6. So that shouldn't be co-main over a guy who, Overeem is 41-15. Hunt less more, so I think that should have been the co-main. But this was a really good fight too. David Taylor ends wins by unanimous, but it was a battle. They were beating the shit out of each other, and I actually picked Venata. So this whole fight thing, I was like 1-3 so far. I only picked Cynthia to win. I picked Rashard to win, he lost. I picked Lando to win, he lost. I picked Hunt to win, he lost. I do like Overeem too. I was gonna pick Overeem, but I was like, let me go with Hunt. I feel bad for him. I feel like he should, I guess he needs more recognition. And then you come to the main card, which, honestly, I think the fight pass prelims, this dude named Tyson Pedro versus Paul Craig. That was probably one of my favorite fights of the day. Even the first fight, it was a dude from, Andre Sokomov, he's from Providence, Rhode Island, from my hometown. And, he fought some of that Albert Morales. Like, those fights and the prelims were way better than the main card, in my personal opinion. Because Woodley versus Thompson, they were very, I guess you could say, like Joe Rogan said best, they were a very tactical fight. He said he enjoyed it. I wonder if that's completely true. He did. It's tactical to a sense, but they were very hesitant. Like, they were very scared of being winded by the third or fourth round, so, like, they didn't do anything the first three rounds. I honestly, the winner, by the way, is Ann Still. You've probably seen it, Tyron Woodley. I pick Woodley to win. I actually bet money on this, but I don't think he won. I think that it was honestly another split decision, because I felt like Thomas won the first two rounds. Woodley, the middle one was up in the air, and then Woodley won the last two because Woodley got like a takedown. He got a takedown. He knocked Thompson down. He got more hits. And I seen, like, the official report. Like, Woodley got, like, one more, like, significant strike more. Got a couple more total strikes landed more. He got, like, one takedown to Thompson's none. And one knockdown to Thompson's none. So, it was very close. I honestly would think that if they would have... I think it was another fucking draw. But they couldn't have another draw, so they had to give it to, you know... the whole thing was one last time they could face. This is it. And it was honestly probably another draw. And it wasn't even like a unanimous decision. It was a majority pick or some shit. Majority favored or whatever. Majority decision, that's what it was. Instead of saying it was a draw or something like that. So it was very close. I think it was a draw, but they didn't want that, so they gave it to the champ. We're just supposed to give it to the champ. But yeah, that was a fight card. I honestly should have thought ahead and did the prelims and the fucking early pass prelims, because they were, I believe, they were more exciting. And they actually helped me find out a new couple fighters and keep an eye on and stuff. But let's get into, sorry for this one, the wind's ridiculous. I want to get into the Logan movie. Obviously, spoilers if you haven't seen it, and if you plan on seeing it, I will definitely see it before I ruin it for you. It's a great fucking movie. I believe it's hands down the best X-Men movie out there. It's the best depiction of Logan. I just feel overall it was an awesome movie. Fox hit a gold mine when it comes to rated R movies with the Deadpool and all this. It's perfect. And so get into it. Movie starts off a little, you can call it a Deadpool 2 teaser. And you see like Ryan Reynolds or whatever, what the fuck is Deadpool's real name? Wade Wilson, with his all fucked up face with his hoodie on, and this guy's about to get mugged. And it's funny because, you know, like I said, spoiler, so one last time, I'll give you 2 seconds to exit. No, okay. So yeah, some old guy's about to get mugged by this, you know, robber or whatever, the typical superhero story. So Deadpool runs to a phone booth to change, kind of mocking Superman. And you see him like changing, he's taking forever, and the mug is like, is there anyone there that could actually help me? Anyone, there has to be someone in this giant city to help me. And it's just like, it's all drawn out, it's funny. Like you see like fucking, it's kind of like transparent a little bit, so you like fucking Deadpool's ass cheeks are against the fucking glass, and it's, you know, like getting tension. And then he's getting stuff on, he's all talking to himself and shit while he's in there. And then you get to hear the old guy saying, help, don't take my stuff. And then you hear a gunshot go off, and then, no, I believe he gets out of the phone booth, and he's all, like checking if he got everything on him. He's like, okay, good, 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 good. And he hears a gunshot go off, he's like, ooh. And he runs over there, he sees the guy bleeding, goes, yeah, and the guy's like dead on the ground. So he just like lays on him and takes his food and starts eating his some kind of food. I forgot what it was. And he's like, yeah, this is a story, you know. And he starts saying like this is not his story to tell. And he's like just chilling, laying on the guy's dead body and stuff. It was pretty funny. I'm glad they put him in there. But there's little key things you can see, like on the back of the phone booth when Deadpool was walking away from him, it said Nathan Summers was here. And Nathan Summers is Cable, so that's exciting to see that they have him. They said something else was here too, but I don't remember who the hell it was. I couldn't remember after I left there. So it's definitely, that was pretty cool little head nod to them, because I know they won. I know Hugh Jackman, you know, is a couple years younger and is still willing to do a movie. He did it for what they said, 17 years. He would have definitely probably been game to do like a Deadpool and Wolverine, but that shit takes a toll on you. The diet, the strict diet, I guess he was. His diet in this one wasn't too serious since he was Old Man Logan, so you could tell he wasn't super shredded like he used to be. But it fits the whole Old Man Logan thing. And then, so going to the opening scene, it's like Logan sleeping in his futuristic limo car, because it's the future, it's like 20 something, I don't know, 20, 29, some shit like that. And there's like these essays that it's pretty fucked up, but it's these essays stealing rims and shit like that, kind of. It's kind of a stereotype. But they're all stealing this shit, and he's like, hey, guys. And he's all, like, hungover. You can tell Logan's all hungover and stuff like that. And what you see is, like, I think they're outside of, yeah, El Paso. And then he's like, hey, guys, can you not touch my stuff? This is a rental, or it's a lease. There's no point stealing this. And they shoot him with a shotgun. I'm like, get out of here, gringo, whatever they call him. And Wolverine gets up and he just starts slashing them. They're shooting him. He's like cutting people's limbs off. And this is just, I believe this scene was set up just to show people what they're about to see. Like, it's freaking cutting people's legs off, like calling their faces. And then his face, like, you just see like blood squirting out. It's just ridiculous. It's pretty insane. And I love it. I think it's should what Wolverine should be, since he has claws in all of the movies. He never really gets really bloody with it, in a sense. So that's a pretty cool scene. Like I said, blood, gory, gritty. It gives you a taste of what you're about to expect. And then eventually it shows, like, it's like the next morning he's going to a funeral. I forgot whose funeral was it. And then some lady's like, "Hey, I need your help. They're after me, my daughter." And he's like, "Get out of here, lady." Like, he's being a grumpy old man. Like, he's kind of, you can tell he gave up on the world. Don't know why yet, but he kind of just sick of everything. He's always coughing, doing, like, you know, drinking alcohol, trying to numb his pain. Eventually he goes to, like, a hospital, pays people, this doctor, to, like, outside to get, like, a bag of drugs. So you think he's being a druggie, but he's not. And he goes into his limo, and then some guy jumps in, and it's the introduction of the main villain he fights. Not the head villain, but the main villain he fights, and he downloads Pierce, like a robotic arm. And a lot of his goons have, and he's just like, I don't know, he reminds me of, I don't really care for this villain. He didn't seem like a threat to me at all. Kind of lame as fuck, I think, very basic. Didn't really stand out. He looked just like his goons because he had a robotic hand. And a lot of his goons have robotic hands. But I think what's cool about that is the sense of, as you find out later, with the experiments, like X-23, these people, I think they lost body parts from the experiments. Which I'm probably like, oh, yeah, because you see, like, one has one arm gone. Then it's not all uniform. So one has one arm gone, he has his hand gone. So it's like, damn, they probably lost their arms from, like, the experiments. Like, since they're super powered and they're, like, ripping their arms off, so they have to use, like, new technology to replace their arm because it's the future and stuff, which is pretty cool. I don't know if their body parts are adamantium. I was wondering. It might be, actually. But that's the introduction of Donald Pierce. And he's like, get the fuck out of my car. He's like, he's looking for the lady and the girl. When he goes back home, his roommate he's like somewhere in the middle of the desert between Texas and Mexico. His roommate is a character, Caliban, who's been really like an anti-hero villain kind of sense in the comic books, I'm pretty sure. But it's the future, so he can be friends with Wolverine for all I know. I never read the Old Man Logan stories, so I really don't know. And then he goes to this little windmill cover thing, some round thing in the back of the yard, and it's where they keep Professor Xavier in there, I'm guessing, to treat his mind, because he's like kind of this senile. And after seeing in the movie, as it progresses, he has a lot of seizures and it's kind of like Alzheimer, and they give him these pills to keep him sedated, and he keeps saying he's talking to another mutant. And in this world, since it's 2029, they have no use for mutants anymore, so there's not a lot left. And if they do find him, I think they kill him. So, you know, Logan's like, "You're not talking to anyone, you're a fucking crazy old man," this and that, just being an asshole to him. But this movie shows good. It shows how, if you watch the other X-Men's, you see how Professor Xavier, he was a very studious guy. He's a man, you know, head held high. Even he's in his wheelchair, but his head held high. And it's just, it shows how vulnerable he is. And Wolverine was such a badass, you know. And I wasn't cocky, but he wasn't scared of anyone. But now he's more like, they're just both more vulnerable and more humbled, in a sense. More sad and vulnerable. So it's going to show the good way that way. And you don't know why he's keeping what happens to Professor Xavier, not yet. But later in the story, they talk about what happened at Westchester, which I'm pretty sure that's X-Mansion. I don't know what happened. He eventually remembers and shit like that. But we'll get into that a little more. So then, eventually he's doing his limo job to make more money. He's trying to get a Sun Cruiser for a boat so he can sell somewhere. And him and Professor Xavier, Caliban can't, because he's like allergic to the sun or some shit. And Caliban's powers, he can detect mutants in a certain radius from him, a certain mile from him. God damn, this wind is ridiculous. Anyways. So they're gonna, he's saving like 75, 80 grand. He only had like 40 something. So he's doing a side limbo gig, like he's picking up, you know, girls. They're showing, like you know, they had a, you know, great artist, they had to show titties. So they had to show the girls, like, showing the titties, like, "Hey, driver," and "Woo," and whatever, you know. Yeah, so do a little fan base, I guess. And then he gets a call saying it's a pickup, and he picks up and he sees this little girl. Again, he sees this lady, and the lady's talking like, "Hey, I need you to take her to South Dakota. These people hunt her down." He doesn't know why they're trying to hunt her down, but she's like, "No, I can't do it. She's like, "Please, I'll pay you 50 grand now, and I'll give you another 20. No, 30 grand now, and I'll give you another 20 when you get Gus there." He's like, and she gave him the money, like, "I swear." And he's like, "Hmm." So he goes back home and tells Caliban and Professor Xavier that he'll be back. I guess, I think he was doing, like, more jobs. He's like, "Please, Harvey, I think they're on to us. The long we wait, more likely they're going to find me." But he kind of pushes it off because he really don't care. And then he eventually tells, Professor Xavier he's going to go, he'll be back in a few days to be good and stuff like that. And when he finally gets back there, the door's busted open, the hotel, and she's there dead. And the girl's nowhere to be found. He looks for the more money, but there's no more money. So he leaves, gets back to his house, and realizes that the little girl followed him, or she snuck into his car, some shit. I don't know how she got there, but she followed him somehow. And then Professor Xavier's like, "Oh, this is the girl I've been talking to, this and that, blah blah blah." And then this introduction, Laura, so they give her cereal, she's eating cereal, and then those goons come, the old Mr. Donald Pierce comes with his fucking people. And they're Logan's like, "Fuck the girl," he leaves the girl. And, they beat him up, but they dispose of Pierce and the thing, but then all his goons come. And they kind of beat up Caliban, so now he don't know where Caliban is. But I'm not going to go through the whole story like this, like that's be too much. But I emphasize on cool best parts. I'll keep continuing with this part. So when they go to this place, the little girl's eating, she's eating cereal like a little girl does. She's been quiet. She only speaks Spanish, but she kind of speaks English, but she don't tell anyone. And she sees the camera, and then Logan getting his ass kicked, and the guys go after her, and she gets pissed off, and then they're kind of scared of her. You can see, and you're like, "Oh, she's a badass." And all he hears, you hear gunshots and shit. She comes out with the dude's head, and she just throws it to Donald Pierce. And then he's like, "Come on, sweetie," and she starts screaming, and then they start shooting at her, so she starts running off, and they try to find her. But just to see how Laura is and how she you can see her fight. If you watch Logan's fight, he's more upfront, straightforward, slashing, dashing. She's more agile, since she's a little kid, so she's jumping on people, wrap her legs on people's necks, stabbing them in the head, twisting around, doing this crazy kind of Black Widow shit. Cause to see the two different fighting styles is fucking amazing. And when they get to fight next side by side later on, it's so awesome. So that's basically the beginning of it. I'm not going to go into too depth. This would take forever, and me talking about it is pretty fucking boring. But talking about the character Laura, how it differs in the X-23 comics, her guardian or her mother, who raised her while she was at this place, which these experiments, they're in El Paso. No, they're in Mexico, which makes sense. I know that Laura is not supposed to be Hispanic, but they take Mexican women and they make their kids, and they take their babies, and they make them have super strength, which is not how the story goes, in the comics. But it makes sense because all the shit that people get away with, stem cell stuff that's legal in Mexico. So it makes it fits the area of kind of nowadays stuff that's going on. Like a lot of Mexico, they have a lot of not American traditional things you can do. So people used to go to Mexico to get certain type of treatments you can't get in the U.S. That's not allowed. So it kind of makes sense that they have that there. But her guardian doesn't get... excuse me. Her guardian doesn't get killed by the guy in the story. X-23 or Laura has... She has this power... this thing when they... It's called... I think it's the sand. When she smells it, she goes on a killing spree, bloodbath. And she killed her owner in the comics. But this one... You had to change it differently, obviously. But I love this little girl's actress. I could see her being Laura. I think she did great. It definitely fits better. And I like how if Logan will be passing the answer to her. I don't know if they're going to make her, older in the next movie. Like, same little girl. I'm more for you, the same little girl. It'd be cool to watch her progress as age. What else? Good scenes after that. Shit. But you could. Oh, what's also good at this point in time, he really doesn't give a shit about the girl. He's just having her around because for Professor Xavier's reasons. And Professor, they showed earlier that Professor Xavier had a seizure, and when he had a seizure, his mind power thing just goes crazy, and it's like weak, hurts people and it makes them like in pain and shit. Which is fucking dope because it gives you a little glimpse of what's about to happen later on. Like, he's like, oh shit, you don't take these meds. He's kind of fucked. And then he goes somewhere. Oh, he goes to sell his limo eventually, and they go to Oklahoma City because I guess that's a new Vegas in the future. I don't know, because they have a casino. I thought it was Vegas, but it wasn't. And he goes sell the limo, and he goes between the, he's like looking between seats, make sure he didn't forget anything. And he's seen pills there. Oh, he maybe seen pills sticking up, and he hasn't been taking his pills for like 2 days. And they're at a hotel in Oklahoma City. So when he gets back, he sees like all the goons after him, like, oh shit, they're all here. I gotta go upstairs. And then, oh, Xavier has a seizure. And it's like everyone in the casino's just dropped to the floor, like shaking, like hurting. And Wolverine has to go all the way up there and kill all these guys. And then they end up escaping, making him take the pills to help him calm down. So him and Laura flee, but that just shows you the power of him and how scary that can be. And that's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty cool scene. And also, they also show like Wolverine's like seeing these comic books, and he's like, "Oh, this stuff's fake. Like, some of the stories are real, but they added all this prima donna bullshit, and it's all this. They fed you lies because it's like seeing Wolverine comic books. Because I guess in the future they make comic books about them, all their you know their tales and stuff, which is pretty cool. It's a cool reference to you know the comic books." But another scene as it progresses, and also you can see how he doesn't give a shit about it, but as this movie progresses, he starts to care about the girl more and more, which makes ending great. But they meet this nice this black family, very southern. They go have a dinner there, and Professor X wants to stay there for the night, but Logan's like, no, we need to get on the road. He takes the girl to South Dakota, which where his Eden's at, which he already said like it was all fake because Eden's like in the comic book that he was reading, so he's all pissed off about that. So when he goes helps the father of the family go do some power stuff, and then these people end up breaking into the goons of whatever this guy's guy. I think his name is something Xana Rice is like the doctor or whatever. He's in it too, but he gets fucking murked. I'm pretty sure. I think he gets murdered. Yeah. But anyways, and then. You know, you see like a shadow, you think it's Logan who comes into the house. And then Brexley's neighbor's like, I'm glad we came here. I felt normal, whatever, being with this family. It makes me feel at peace. And I kind of remember what happened at Westchester, which they never explain what exactly happened to Westchester. Supposedly they had cut out, it was a deleted, they had a scene, but they cut it out. And it shows a flashback to Westchester. So I'd like to see what happened. And he's like, because I can't believe what I did at Westchester. I'm pretty sure he's the reason why most of probably the mutants got killed at Westchester at his school. And he turns around and sees it's like a young Logan with like a bald head and beard. And not bald, but short hair, like a younger version of Logan. He stabs him in the stomach and shit and kills him. Kills Press X, and now he's dead. It's just pretty fucking sad. And then that dude goes downstairs, and he kills like the whole family inside. Grabs a little girl to bring her outside. And then Logan comes home, and like the dude walks by with the girl in his hands, and Logan's like, "What the fuck?" He's like in shock. Like, why is there a clone of me? Like, he can't believe what he sees. And then Laura's like, "Help me, help!" Screaming, and he looks to Laura, and he looks upstairs to see. Where Professor X, and he obviously chooses to see Professor X, Xavier, and he goes up there, and Xavier's like bleeding, barely alive, and he grabs him. First thing he tells him, like, that wasn't me. To let him reassure him that he knows he's gonna pass, but he wants him to know that he doesn't want him to die, you know, thinking that Logan killed him. And then he's like, go help Laura. And then he passes, and then Wolverine's pissed. So Wolverine goes after there, beats, you know, fights this dude. Kind of gets the shit out of him. They've been using Caliban, by the way, to track Wolverine. They captured him. And they've been torturing him in a sense. So that, but Caliban ended up taking like grenade off a guy on off the ground and like sacrificing himself and these other people too, and killing like some of the goons and stuff. So they beat the shit out of, they don't kill the other Wolverine, but they immobilize him, and him and Laura escape. And this is the point you could tell that Wolverine, like, he's fucked up. He got like knife marks, and he's not aging. He's not aging, like, he's not healing the same way. I'm pretty sure because he's getting older, his healing factor is slowing down, and also the adamantium in his body, since his healing factor is down because of his age, that's making his healing, obviously, like I just said, slower, which is making his body finally feel a little toll, the adamantium, because he has, you know, you have metal inside you, and it's like poisoning his body. But usually when he's younger, he would not affect him because he gets to heal a lot. So him constantly healing, he's not going to feel the poison. You know, he don't get drunk. But now, since his powers are dimming, like he when he drinks, he's actually stumbling drunk. And he's poisoned. He's feeling the toll of it. And he's kind of just letting himself die in a sense, you know. And so, Professor X is dead. It's just him and Laura. And he's kind of feeling something for her, but he pushes the feelings away. Because, you know, before Professor X died, he told him, like, this is your daughter. Like, she's from your DNA. And, like, all these people are made from, like, all the, like, they take the Mexican women, but they put the samples of DNAs and the blood samples of, you know, mutants, known mutants that they get from, like, Wolverine and stuff. So that's how Laura's taking his daughter, biologically. So eventually, getting closer to the end, he gets them to Eden, where like these all the other kids like, escaped and shit. They're there, they're chilling. And Wolverine like sleeps for 2 days because he's like weak, and they're gonna feed him, shoot him with this shot that helps them be stronger and heal faster. And he's like, don't put that in me. That makes you crazy and stuff. They're like, yeah, but small doses will help you heal. And he's like, I don't need that. So he goes back to sleep. And the kids, it's funny because the kids messed around. They shaved like the middle of his, where his chin is, but they kept his long sideburns. They made him have the traditional, he looked like the traditional old man Logan with the middle part near his chin shaved, but he has a side. Like it's like that rat, scraggly, weird, fucking facial hair, beard thing he has. So they gave it like, they do a little head nod to the traditional one right there. And then, so he did that. And, okay, so yeah, so they did that, and then he lets them go off, and kind of like, he tells her off again, like, hey, yeah, go, that's just for the money, you hear? Now everyone's dead, pretty much blame her for it, and he's like, and he kind of like, he pushes her off, but he tells her, like, it's kind of like, oh, like, I can't love you, as a child, because everyone I love dies, and she's like, well, good thing you don't love me, then, and she walks off, and kind of just, like, nods off, goes back to sleep, whatever. And then next morning they're all gone. But then he sees like these little drones flying over, and they're chasing. And he sees like the trucks heading to them. So he's rushing over there, and he's running through the woods. And these kids are getting captured and shit by these people while they're running. He's like sprinting, and he's just so tired, so weak from the, you know, just so weak nowadays. And he's just like, he's just very weak, and he's just like, he's just struggling trying to keep up. He's not the same person. He's not in his prime anymore, and. So he's like, fuck it. He takes the fucking, that stuff that makes you kind of, the stuff, and he takes the whole thing, not sample, he takes the whole fucking syringe, and he just like goes kind of primal in a sense. He's like, ah, and he's just fucking sprinting nonstop. And he's just slaughtering, when he catches them, he just starts slaughtering people. And you get to see even the, like, the little kid's power. The one had ice, and like broke some, like free some dude's hand off, and then smashed it to pieces of ice. And then one person like had power of like wind and shit, and like making the fucking wind go up and like destroy people. It's crazy. I don't know what kind of power it is. Bugs or some crazy shit. But it was pretty cool. So boom, boom, like he's running, and he's doing a shot up. But he's very stronger now. But he's not being defensive. So he's just like, taking the shots, like, ooh, like whatever. But the shit doesn't last long. So he starts coming down from him slowly, and they got him, and then they released the. As they seen that he started killing all the goons and stuff, Donald Pierce lets go of releases the clone Logan, and then he just starts beating the shit out of him, like fucking cutting through Logan's stomach, while well, all the kids are captured. Laura's like taking out all the other guys like secretly and helping the other kids get out. But Logan's just taking that against his ass, beat, boom, 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 you know. And then they end up killing Donald Pierce. And then they like crush his body and shit like that. And then with the old man. But then this is where you get to see Logan and Laura team up a bit against the clone Wolverine. But he like beats the shit out of them and he ends up beating the shit out of both of them. Because the clone is a fucking savage. And then end up putting Wolverine on this fucking like, tree trunk that's sticking out. And it goes through him. And he's not healing as good anymore. So it's not looking good for Wolverine. But then right before he's like, but like, I don't know if they cut off Wolverine, Logan's head. But Laura takes that adamantium bullet. Because she found it from Logan. Because Logan was like saying he's going to shoot himself in the head before. And they used to keep it to always remember what he was. But then he started thinking about killing himself. And he told Laura that. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place a little bit. I'm starting to remember stuff now. And then, so he ends up, she ends up shooting the clone in the head, which adamantium kills, you know, adamantium in a sense. Now, this part is the worst part, but also the most amazing part. Because Logan's about to die. He's bleeding out. Laura's crying. And this movie does a good way of showing like how they were not really close, but how you could tell they started getting closer, but not quite. But Wolverine keep pushing her away. She won't listen to Logan sometimes. But like it's kind of like having a bratty kid instead. But and when she starts talking to him in English, start getting comfortable around trusting him. He's like crying. He's like, oh, he's like, this is what it feels like to have a child sometimes on your own, because he was saying before like to. Best X, like, he doesn't know how that feels. And he's like, Wolverine's kind of crying. He's like, man, this is how must feel. And he's like, you gotta go with your friends. You're safe now. You need to get out of here before they come. They're gonna keep coming at you. You just gotta be strong. And he said, don't be what they want you to be. Remember that. Just always remember that. And then Logan dies. And where it gets real sad is when she's crying and she says, daddy, like, daddy, daddy. And it's, I was about to fucking, I'm not gonna lie, I was about to cry. I was like, holy shit, this movie hits the fucking feels. And she keeps saying daddy to wake him up. But she couldn't wake him up. And it shows that, and then it cuts to a little ahead of time. And then they buried him. But she says something, not kind of against what Wolverine says. Like, something about, like, don't quote me on this. But he said, don't be what they want you to be. But she said something about, like, it's never going to end. She says, I got to keep taking them out and shit like that. Stuff like that. So, like, she's kind of being an aggressive approach to, like, and they had the cross up on him above his grave. And then all the kids walk off. And then right before she walks away from the cross, she takes the cross out of the ground and moves over to the side to make it an angle, to make it an X for X-Men. It's a fucking awesome tribute. And it's, this ending is one of the best endings ever, I think, for a superhero movie. Yes, Logan's dead. You won't see him again. It's sad. However, now you can't. It's doing that X for him. This movie is like hats off to Logan now. To Hugh Jackman, because he did this movie for so long and he died, but it was just such a fucking awesome movie. Like, I love that movie. So, honestly, if you think about, oh, what's the timeline, though? Where does it fit the timeline? It's in the future. I know the timeline goes from first X having a wheelchair to not having a wheelchair to having a wheelchair to not having a wheelchair to having a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying? Fuck the timeline. Don't think about the timeline. Just think of this movie as, I look at it as a standalone movie. I take the first two Wolverine. I don't incorporate X, and I just take Wolverine origins. Think of parts of the X-Men. Don't even think of Days of Future Past either. Just like Wolverine origins, Wolverine. Some, you know, X-Men 1, 2, and 3, and that, the ones with Days of Future Past and fucking First Class, those confusing ass ones, I don't worry about those. Those are good movies, but I don't worry about those. I just look at Hugh Jackman's movies in a sense, and top it off at that, and it's awesome. I give it a 4.5 out of 5. That's my rating to why not an extra 0.5 just because it has some things not correct with the original story, which is not a bad thing. But to make it, you know, to give it a 5 out of 5, meaning there's absolutely no complaints, which I can't really think of any right now. There were some parts I was like, oh yeah, that's gonna really gonna happen. Like, it's kind of, it was a part where like they're like, there's like, they're looking for the, when they're looking for their kids, and they're running through the woods, and like this simple stuff I've noticed, like they're fucking driving their vehicles and just heading forward, and there's some people on a, you know, running with their guns, and like between the trees, because that's what they're not, because the trucks are and the vehicles are on the road, and they're going into, you know, the woods and trees, but while they're running, they have their gun lined up in sight, like they're aimed at something, and like, no, that's not very suitable. You can't run, you don't run like that with a gun. You run the gun low, ready, whatever it's called, and you just run with it, in a sense. You had it up. They had like all like up. Like, that's not very, they're supposed to be kind of like military, like, I guess like mercenary kind of people, but that's not how it works. They got little shit like that wrong. You can see little things here and there that are kind of messed up with it. And then, you know, it's not, it derives from the, gets away from the comic a little bit, and I gave it a less 0.5 because I think the villains were weak. I know that it wasn't supposed to show, I don't think the villains were the main focal point. It was to be all about Hugh Jackman and this little girl and him kind of passing her the mantle and, you know, saying, here's your last hoorah, Hugh Jackman. So I think that's what it was mainly focused for, but the Stu villain was pretty weak. I didn't find him really menacing. And I guess really the real villain was old age, in a sense. Well, I guess you could say the Clone Wolverine, he was a fucking menace. Like, I was like, he's not going to beat him. But he was kind of controlled by someone that's weaker, in a sense. Someone not as interesting. But lastly, what I want to talk about is, what's next for the X-Men? Wolverine's done. I'd love to see there be a movie called X-23. That'd be dope. And what was she, like, since in this, her story, all the, everyone's dead, all the, really the mutants, so maybe it'll be like X-Force or something with her. Oh, you know, I can see what happening. Cable comes around, goes to the future, takes X-23, brings it back. She works with fucking Deadpool. I can see that happening. And then you got, you know, that, and then they'll have Mr. Sinister and all them and shit like that. So that would be pretty fucking dope. That's exciting stuff. I would definitely love to see that. I'm all about X-23. She's one of my favorite X-Men characters. And that's all for the podcast. It's, what, 43 minutes? It's not too bad. I feel like the other one was too, maybe it might have been too long. But hey, we got a good 45 minutes. That's good. Maybe gym workout or a commute to work there and back or something. Who knows? But I'm glad you... listen, I'm hoping next week I'll have a guest on. I might have my cousin, Anthony, be on. We're going to talk about free agency, since next week will be pretty much a couple days or a week into free agency. So we get to see all kinds of crazy shit. Like, I don't want to get into it now because that's what we're going to talk about in next week's episode. I know I took last week off. Honestly, I had no topics to talk about. It's kind of a dead spot for me. I didn't want to just talk about something not interesting. You guys would be like, oh, this is lame, in a sense. So, glad you listened today. Follow me on Instagram, Galactic Overdose. Give me a like, repost, share, whatever. On SoundCloud, you can do whatever you can do on Apple Podcasting app thingy, whatever you listen to on, whatever platform. Also, I'm also working on my own comic company. That's far from the works. I'm working on just pretty much the manifesto right now. It's really exciting stuff. I don't want to say too much right now in case anything changes and it'll be different from what I say now, in a sense, because I'm always changing my ideas just to better it, in a sense. But it's something good to look forward to. I want to have at least start working my fucking, at least my rough draft of the issue. And have like the script out and like the panels, somewhat of the panels idea sense ready by beginning of summer. So the summer I could just fucking hit the drawing pad hard and fucking get off running. And then I'll keep you guys updated by whoever listens to the podcast. I'll keep you guys updated that way. And if you guys are interested, I'll definitely have them out. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned for next week. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.